Steve Dale's Other World on WGN, trying to keep you informed. And I think we'll just jump right into it. Dr. Richard Novak, principal investigator for the Moderna vaccine trial. Our number 312-981-7200. You can call, you can text, your choice for Dr. Novak. And I think the question that is, I know the question that's been in the news, do we get a booster, Dr. Novak, or don't we? Pfizer, a similar product to yours, nearly identical, I think it's safe to say, said, at least the technology is, said earlier in the week that, oh, I think a booster is a good idea. But then the FDA said, well, not yet. We don't need that yet. And the CDC said the same. So where is Moderna on this topic?
Well, Moderna's busy working on boosters. They are prepared in the event that we need a booster. I think the government agencies are trying to say, well, the current vaccines that we've got are working, and they seem to still be working against these variants. They still seem to be providing adequate protection, so they're not ready to pull the trigger yet on the boosters. But if I were a betting man, I would say that probably we're going to have boosters eventually.
Does eventually mean this year? Does eventually mean when?
I couldn't be a guess. I don't know. I think it's probably not going to be this year. I think that they'll be ready for them probably by later this year. But I think that we have to see what's happening with the pandemic at that time. Now, it's a very dynamic thing. We've got new variants coming one after the other, and things can change at any time, and they change fairly rapidly. So your opinions about boosters may change rapidly as well.
I don't recall the name of the doctor, and maybe better off that I don't, because it's really not germane, but what he said is important. He said, for all those who are not getting vaccinated now, yes, clearly they're putting themselves at risk, but they're also creating a viable way in which the variants can continue to evolve, where if more people were vaccinated, that could not occur. Does that make sense?
Well, yes, it does, absolutely. I mean, the variants come from people are having infections, and the virus is evolving in those people. But it's happening all over the world. I mean, the Delta variant that we're worried about now came from India. And they don't have a lot of vaccine in India. Similarly, right now the pandemic is raging in Africa. The entire continent is experiencing a huge surge in infections. And the opportunities there for variants to emerge or continue to evolve is huge. So while, yes, we could get variants right here in the United States among people who aren't getting vaccinated, the variants are coming from all over the world. We actually have to vaccinate the entire planet. We can't just worry about the United States if we want to control the pandemic.
Okay, so here's a text question that is perfect as a follow-up. So thank you, 630. And that question is, if we had herd immunity here, then are we safer from the variants?
Well, that's a good question. I think that we would be if we had herd immunity, then the amount of transmission of the virus in the United States would be very low. And so it doesn't mean that we couldn't get variants coming in, but we'd have so many people who are immune that very, very few people who could support the infection. Right now we're not there, and there's still plenty of people who are potentially could get sick from a virus. And so that's why we still have a smoldering pandemic here in the United States. We have hot spots where the vaccine rates are really low. If those spots had high rates of vaccination, then they wouldn't be having these surges. They would be similar to what we have here in Illinois, frankly.
So, well, yes and no. So in Chicago, I don't know today's numbers, but in Chicago, because of the rate of vaccination, I suppose, the number of infections continues to be on the decline. In southwestern Illinois, where vaccination numbers aren't so great, the number of infections actually is on the rise.
Right.
There seems to be a correlation there. I would suspect you'd agree.
Well, let's face it, over 99% of the new infections are occurring in people who aren't vaccinated. So anybody can figure out fairly quickly that if you don't get a vaccine, you're going to be susceptible. It's proof positive the vaccines clearly work. And so if you have a vaccine, you're protected. But there, even here, even in Chicago, we've got some neighborhoods where people are not getting vaccinated, and they're potentially ticking time bombs, because if the infection gets introduced into those neighborhoods, it's going to spread.
Okay, now you said, and I'm sure you didn't mean it literally this way, but you said anyone can figure out if you're not vaccinated, you're more susceptible. I don't think that people are figuring that out somehow. So I had Dr. Fauci on the show, I don't know, 2 months ago, whatever it was. I've had other high-profile physicians on the show, like Dr. Jay Hotez, the guy with the bow tie you see on CNN, and others on this program. You are not, as a scientist, same league. Maybe a bigger league, I don't know. But same league for sure, but not as high profile. You don't do these sorts of interviews, for which I'm grateful that you consent to talking to me. So thank you once again for doing that. When Dr. Fauci and these others are on, and you watch in social media what the comments are, it's all unbelievable to me. People attacking them for saying kind of what you just said, that the vaccine is protective, that the vaccine makes a difference. And instead they're saying all these things, the vaccine is going to kill people and on. And you have this disinformation out there that even public officials in some places are helping to perpetuate. How do you as a scientist feel about that? That's got to be the most frustrating thing on the planet.
Well, it's hard. It's hard to fathom how people arrive at the things they do. I mean, there's definitely in social media, there's a lot of disinformation. So, and there's a tremendous amount of distrust in certain communities of the government, and they believe the vaccine is all government driven. But just as I said, if 99% of the infections are occurring in unvaccinated people, that means that the vaccine is working, that the people who are vaccinated are not among the people who are getting sick. So there appear, you know, there's myths that there, we're injecting a microchip into with the vaccine into people so we can track them. That's patently absurd, because if they're worried about being tracked, they shouldn't have a smartphone, because a smartphone can be tracked.
True enough.
So a microchip is totally irrelevant, and there's a myth in the African American community that the vaccine includes DNA from white people, and we're trying to make people white. That's just sadly is not true, and there's no DNA in the vaccine, and the vaccine's there to help people. And so it's frustrating that there's all this misinformation and it's preventing people from getting the vaccine, and then they remain at risk for getting sick.
So what exactly is in the vaccine? It's an mRNA technology. That much I know very well. What does that mean? What is exactly in this vaccine? We have some listener questions for you as well. Dr. Novak, if you could hold on, that would be great. More to come with Dr. Richard Novak, Moderna vaccine trial, right here on WGN. Steve Dale's Other World on WGN. On the phone, head of the Moderna vaccine trial, and that's Dr. Richard Novak. What, as we went to break, I asked, is in the vaccine? So not what isn't in there, but what is that? I don't think there's a lot in there, really, Dr. Novak, is there?
No, you're right. There isn't a whole lot. There's the main message is, it's RNA, which is a kind of genetic material that codes for the viral spike protein and nothing else. It codes just for the viral spike protein, and it's packaged within a lipid nanoparticle. So lipid is fat. So it's made into these tiny little microscopic particles, and that's what's injected. And the reason they use that is because we know that it's taken up by cells of the immune system the genetic material that codes for that spike protein is read by the cell and makes the protein. It shows it to the immune system in a way that you make a potent immune response. I have to say also that the RNA is fairly transient. It's degraded fairly quickly after it's used, so not in your body very long.
And how does this RNA, so if I'm infected with SARS coronavirus 2, or am in, I'm talking to someone who has that, how do I not get the virus as a result of the vaccine? What happens in me if I'm vaccinated?
Well, so you make an immune response to the spike protein, which is the part of the virus that is needed for the virus to get into your cells to cause an infection. So they use that protein to induce your body to make an immune response in the form of antibodies and other things, but antibodies are probably the most important. And those antibodies are a kind of protein that your immune system makes. It binds to the natural spike protein on the virus. When the virus is trying to get into your body, it gets into your system, the antibodies bind to it, it can't get into your cells, and therefore you don't get an infection.
And the spike protein you refer to, and a lot of people refer to, in coronaviruses in general, is what?
It's a surface protein. If people have seen drawings of the virus, it's like a sphere with projections up on the outside of it. The virus got its name coronavirus because when you look at the virus under a microscope, in an electron microscope, it looks like it has this crown. Corona is crown, so which are all the spike proteins that are visible. So it's these little projections of protein, which are things that bind to receptors on your cells. We call it the ACE2 receptor. It's one of the proteins on some of our cells. So in order for the virus to get into that cell, it has to attach to it. It does it through that spike protein ACE2 receptor interaction.
All right, I want to get to some questions that we have here. First, on the telephone, Ron, you're on WGN. Hi. Ron? Hello? Well, it says you're on the air. I think you're on the air, but I don't hear a thing from you. Dr. Novak, you're still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, well, we wait for Ron, who apparently has disappeared. I do have another question. This one's from a text in fact, a guest on this radio show said a couple of weeks ago that perhaps at some point for the Janssen vaccine, that maybe the best idea at some point in time is to get either revaccinated with that or to get either the Pfizer vaccine or the Moderna vaccine. And boy, this is all really confusing then.
Yeah. Well, those are all actually not bad thoughts. We don't know yet if we're going to need a booster. If we do need a booster, should it be with a different vaccine or with more of the same vaccine? Both Pfizer and Moderna are working on versions of their vaccine that have spike proteins from some of the variants in them. But an alternative would be just to give more of the same vaccine. They've done studies with that. It does boost the immune response. And there have been some studies in Europe where they've looked at responses to a different vaccine when you, let's say you started with Janssen and then subsequently got Moderna or Pfizer, and that seems to work quite well as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to know more about whether or not that would cause any bad side effects. We don't have a lot of information on that yet, but it is a potential alternative way to use our vaccines and get the most use out of them.
Before we go back to Ron, I have another text question, and that is, I have a friend who's immune suppressed, can't get the vaccine or shouldn't, according to her doctor. However, if there's more COVID in the community because people aren't being vaccinated, doesn't this put my innocent friend in danger?
Yeah. Well, we are vaccinating people who are immunosuppressed. The problem with immunosuppression, of course, like having had a transplant or being on having an autoimmune disease and being on immunosuppressive drugs, is that you don't make a very effective immune responses to vaccines. But there are some studies that suggest that if you give an extra dose of vaccine to those people, a third dose, that they seem to get a really even better response than after two doses, and it might be adequate. So being immunosuppressed is not a reason to not get the vaccine. Mm. We need more information about how much vaccine those people are going to need, but they should get vaccinated.
Okay, important point. Let's try Ron again. Hi, Ron.
Hi.
This time we got you. So what's your question for Dr. Novak? Yeah, we do.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Doctor, I've got a friend of mine who seems to be allergic to a bunch of medications and chemicals, and she's afraid to take the vaccine, thinking that the chemicals in there are going to have a bad reaction with her. Is that a valid point?
It's probably not going to happen, but there are people who have severe allergies to medications or things of that nature. And so for those people, if they tell the doctors when they're going for the vaccine that they have that, they'll just be observed longer. So they'll be asked to stick around a little bit longer and make sure they don't have a reaction to it. And they're also getting vaccinated in a place where they have all the equipment in the event they do develop an acute allergic reaction. So they should seek to get a vaccine in a hospital setting, not in a pharmacy like Walgreens, where they have all the tools available in case they get a reaction.
Okay. Have you seen much reactions, bad reactions to the vaccine?
I have not. Ah. And they occur, but they're really quite rare. I personally have not seen it. Any kind of medication or vaccine can cause a reaction in somebody. It's important to keep track of those. And as I said, when we're asking people who are coming in for a vaccine about their medical history, we ask them about the allergic reactions they've had. And if they have a history of having allergic reactions like your friend, then we say, well, we're going to just observe you for a half an hour and make sure that nothing happens.
All right, Ron, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Another question that I have for you here, Dr. Novak, is this, and that's therapeutics, the pharmaceuticals, a completely different topic, but not really. So the vaccines will have around, I presume, for a very long time. But what about the people that get COVID anyway, maybe a milder case? Or what about the people that, for whatever reason, aren't being vaccinated? We do need, at some point, in my view, a therapeutic that can work. We have some that are helpful. Is at least Moderna looking at that prospect?
Moderna isn't, but other companies are. I mean, we do have the Remdesivir is an antiviral that we tested early on for the treatment of COVID-19. And it is, actually, it suppresses the virus by about 90%. It's not, it sounds really good, but it's not, you know, it's a moderately active antiviral drug, and it certainly helps people who are hospitalized with COVID-19. It's been shown very clearly to reduce the length of their hospitalization. We have some other drugs that we use that try and suppress the inflammatory response that people get, that which is so dangerous, and that people end up getting very ill with COVID-19. And then there are a number of other antivirals that are in trials right now, some of which are available as pills, and hopefully could be given to people who early on in the course of their infection to try and suppress the virus and keep them out of the hospital, sort of like we do with Tamiflu when people get influenza.
Right, right. All right, I'm going to take one more call here. We're going to squeeze Steve in. Steve, you're on WGN. Hi, Steve. Steve? Hello? We have, like, less than a minute here. We do have less than a minute. So go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I had a question. I read an article.
Oh, no.
You want me to jump in? My name is Steve.
Not the Steve I was looking for, okay. But you can jump in if you have a question, but it has to be 30 seconds.
No, I'll let you go.
Okay, thank you. That's Steve, our newsman, Dr. Novak.
Okay.
I suppose the bottom line advice would be and is get vaccinated if you're not, huh?
Absolutely.
You know, people hear that over and over, and I wish, and I'm sure you wish the same, and we have 10 seconds here, but in 10 seconds, what can you say that would convince people to do it?
Just look at the numbers. Only people who are not vaccinated are getting sick. People who get vaccinated are staying healthy, and that's what we want.
That is what we want. Dr. Richard Novak, again, thank you so much for your time. I know, in fact, you're on sort of a weekend vacation here, so I double thank you for it. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
No problem.
Thank you. He's a great guy.